I'd be happy to respond to your comments or your questions. Yes, sir.
The next crisis may be visible already. Greece is at the threshold of defaulting, and close behind them are Portugal, Ireland, Spain, perhaps even Italy, and separately out of the Eurozone, Great Britain now has a major deficit problem. The United States is not the only one. Have you considered, you and your colleagues, considered the chain reaction consequences of default and perhaps a breaking apart of the euro?
Well, let me, as I said at the beginning, I'll speak only for myself, and I'm watching it carefully, obviously with some concern that sovereign defaults could create a contagion effect of some kind. I think most of us are watching the Greece situation with great interest, and I think you're pointing to this particular very, very current problem is appropriate. It certainly bears close watching. Yes, ma'am.
I'm puzzled by the fact that the Federal Reserve seems to be gaining more regulatory authority according to what's going on in Congress. It's puzzling because they failed so miserably to do their regulatory job the last time around, so why are they being rewarded with more? And
Is there a, that was a question or a comment? I think it sounded like a comment. Well, first, the accretion or loss of regulatory authority overall still very much in a state of play in Washington. The way I think about this issue is, first, yes, errors were made. Yes, there were weaknesses in the regulatory structure and system, and that included some failings of the Federal Reserve. But going forward, considering all of the reforms that have taken place internally, I think we still have to assess are the best institutions to do particular jobs. And in my view, the Federal Reserve, the Fed, is in the best position to monitor the state of systemically critical, large and complex financial institutions, and to play the systemic risk leadership role. And the notion of starting from scratch to form such an institution, I just think is impractical.
Could you go into detail on the reforms that have taken place within the Fed?
Well, the question is, what reforms have taken place within the Fed? We certainly have recognized there is a need for methods of looking at horizontal risk across institutions, and that was best evidenced in the SCAP process, better known as the stress test process, in which we took basically some economic assumptions and stress test the portfolios of 19 of the largest banks against those basic economic assumptions. And on balance, that was a very successful process. About half, roughly, of the banks were required to augment their capital. The others were viewed as adequately capitalized. I think the fact of that process helped comfort the world about the stability of our banking system, and helped overall to stabilize the situation. That's an example of the kind of methodology that will be used in the future more and more, and that is not only looking at individual institutions, but looking at concentrations and linkages across institutions. We already are somewhat experienced in doing that, and we're continuing to refine the tool bag necessary to operate with that kind of method. Yes?
One of the changes through this whole crisis has been the paying of interest on excess reserves on balance of the Fed, and I understand broadly the implications that that'll have going forward. But do you think, are there any nuances or subtle points that, you know, the market might not be fully appreciating in moving to is such a tool?
Well, the question for those of you in the back has to do with interest on excess reserves, and the question is, are there any nuances going forward that the market may not fully appreciate? I would only say that the interest on excess reserves, because it is an administered rate, not a market rate, could, under certain circumstances in the future, become a very important part of the policy rate adjustment process, because it is administered. And as we go forward into an exit scenario of some kind, we're going to have to deal with the dynamics of excess reserves getting to a level in which the federal funds target rate can be reliably hit. So the interest on excess reserves in tandem with that Fed funds target rate will signal essentially what the overall interest rate policy is. So it's an important rate to follow. Yes, ma'am. All the questions are up front. So.
A related question with regard to that is, can you comment on the potential shift in demand actually for liquidity preference by money-centered banks, and to what extent that might skew the whole relationship with excess reserves and targeting, and make it perhaps more difficult for the Fed to hit the target that it wants?
The question is, could I comment on the shift in liquidity preference of major banks, therefore their holdings of excess reserves, and what implication that has for the Fed's ability to manage the monetary base and ultimately hit Fed funds rate targets and so forth in the future? I think if there has been a shift in liquidity preference, which is, I think, a very plausible argument, it's reflected in the high level of excess reserves we are now seeing. This week, I think those excess reserves were $1.2 trillion. In a normal period, pre-crisis, pre-recession, excess reserves would have been in the range of probably $30 to $50 billion. So we're talking about a major change. We have the power to drain those reserves, and we have tools that have been developed or are currently being refined to be able to do that. That includes the reverse repo tool, term deposits. We have been helped by the renewal of the special financing I forget what SPF stands for, but at any rate, the Treasury $200 billion. And so we're quite confident that we have the ability to drain when the time comes. And if that's in collision with liquidity preferences, it may result in somewhat different calculation of where we need excess reserves to come down at the end of the day, but we're confident we're going to be able to do that. Yes.
There's been a long, fairly long history now of a correlation between exceedingly low interest rates followed by one financial crisis after another. Correlation, not necessarily causality. And now there's been a long debate on that subject, and the Fed seeming to sort of struggle with it, sometimes acknowledging that, sometimes actually defending that fact has not been the cause whatsoever. In your opinion, where do you think the Fed is there viscerally, in terms of the institutional mindset on that important idea and the policy implications of that, going forward?
Well, remember, I don't speak for the Fed overall, so I'm just giving you my own take on your question. The question essentially is, there has been a history of some coincidence, perhaps not causality or even correlation, but coincidence of a period of low interest rates and financial difficulties of one kind sooner or later. And, how do we in policy roles think about that? Is that a reasonable synopsis of the question? I would say that, again, speaking only for myself, I am uncomfortable with extraordinarily low rates for a sustained period of time. I don't know with total precision whether you can correlate that to any given phenomenon. But I think of normal interest rates as being higher than where we are today, and therefore I am somewhat eager at the right time to begin the process of getting to a more normal structure. And I don't think the zero lower bound represents a normal structure. So it's really a again, I'm just one person in a group of currently 17. There is at a certain gut level of discomfort with that level of low rates, policy rate at least, at the zero bound for an extended period of time, to use a phrase that is used differently, for a long period of time. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. So perhaps with your international background, this is more on your radar than others at the Fed, but I'd love to know what you think and then what your read is at the Fed. So this is the first time in history where we've had a country pegged to ours that's 30% of global GDP. And necessarily, their actions must impact our monetary policy. And we see this in the savings consumer imbalance, but we also see it in other ways. And I wonder if the Fed is starting to look globally more than they used to with regard to how the rest of the world impacts our monetary policy and vice versa.
Well, my colleagues at the Dallas Fed have actually put together a center or an entity that essentially is titled something like Globalization and Monetary Policy. It looks at these questions of the influence of the global economy and of economic growth and economic phenomena around the world on U.S. monetary policy. I would say that it is not a central focus for me personally, but we're exploring what those connections are, and the Dallas Fed is taking the lead in that respect. Yeah, I just want to get someone back to the back part of the room. Yes.
Dr. Elizabeth Warren, in a recent interview, urged the government to conduct another stress test on small regional banks because of their exposure to commercial backed mortgage securities, and the government has declined on a number of occasions. What's your view?
I'm not up to date on her specific recommendation, so let me sort of use your question just to segue to something that is on my radar screen. As you know, in the Southeast, we have quite a number of small community banks. We've had a lot of bank failures in the Southeast, and actually the greater Atlanta area has been one of the most hard hit from that point of view. And most of that failure can be attributed to concentration in residential real estate or some commercial real estate. So the smaller banks are heavily exposed. Give you some numbers. There are about $3.8 trillion of commercial real estate loans outstanding in the country. About half of that is with banks. And the small and regional banks dominate really the exposure to commercial real estate. So I would have to look at more detail regarding her actual recommendation, but the overall thrust of the idea that there is an exposure there that needs to be understood, that I very much support. We in the Atlanta Fed have done some work on trying to understand essentially the linkage between the commercial real estate problems, their effect on small banks, community banks and other small and regional banks, their importance to credit to small businesses, the importance of small businesses in job creation, and that sort of a circle of causality, and to understand how that is playing out and where it's likely to go. So focusing on real estate exposure in small banks is important to the broad economy. It's not, strictly speaking, a parochial concern. Yes, Pat.
Oliver Blanchard, the chief economist of the IMF, recently had a proposal that a 2% target for inflation is too low. that an appropriate target might be 4%. I'm just wondering what your reaction is to that.
Well, again, speaking for myself, I have no appetite for thinking in terms of a 4% target. I'm quite comfortable with where I am, which is around 2%, 1.5% or 2% as a notional long-term inflation rate, but I think it could be dangerous to nudge that up in the direction of 4%. Yes?
It kind of goes back to the idea of bubbles and Fed policy, but you know, there was an argument that you know the Fed was trying to become more transparent, but that the last time you exited, there's almost kind of a fusion of transparency with predictability, as opposed to the BOE, where they're fairly transparent, but it's been not necessarily easy to predict their moves. Mm-hmm. One, do you think that predictability was problematic, and do you think that you know this predictability of the exit strategy is going to be a problem with next time?
Well, if I understand the question, I think you probably understand the history better than I do. In a way, that you could ask the question, should a degree of unpredictability be part of the tool bag, if you will?
Quarter. It's just it's one of the reasons volatility got depressed, because you could argue how many quarters there were, but you knew it was a quarter, whereas the BOE would come in and do nothing, go 50, and that seemed to kind of have the effect on volatility, which then had the different effects, people levering out more, et cetera, et cetera.
First answer is I haven't thought deeply about this. On balance, I think, at least under current circumstances, it's important to communicate extremely well to the markets and important to be relatively predictable. That's the way I think about what we should be doing. Thank you very much.